Good morrow, and welcome back to the realm. I am epic fantasy author JV Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe. And for those of you marking your first adventure into the realm, this is my vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis. And each time they specialize in a different art form. And as always, if you like what you hear, you can find me at my epic and dark fantasy books, www.jvhilliard.com. Or follow me at JV Hilliard Books on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Or look for me as just little old JV Hilliard on Discord or Facebook. I want to thank our sponsor again tonight, Altered Reality Magazine. That's www.alteredrealitymag.com. And it's a portal for a publication for first-time authors and poets that write in speculative fiction. So if you're a sci-fi person, you're a fantasy person, dystopian, like a little horror, a little gothic, a lot of cryptid stuff, or you just like vampires, that's the place to go to check it out, not only as readers, but also as writers if you want to get published. Submit something to alteredrealitymag.com, follow the guidelines, and you might get published. And tonight, as we reach our witching hour, I'm going to cast my magical spell here and take control of the airwaves of Blog Talk Radio for 30 minutes. And let's enter the realm together. And tonight we'll be chronicling the adventures of fellow speculative scribes, Jeffrey Kipple and Mindy Blackstein. And Mindy and Jeff, welcome to the realm. Are you ready to do some chatting about your stuff?
We sure are.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Great. Well, let's first, before we go anywhere, tell our listeners about you, what you write, and where they can find you.
You can find us at actridiculous.com. On social media, my handle is at Jeffrey Kipple.
And mine is at Hey Mindheart.
And we write comedy, but it's much more than comedy. It's science fiction. It's about happiness. It's about self-growth and empowerment.
Well, thank you guys for that introduction. And since you mentioned Ridiculous, I'm going to start with that. So The Ridiculous, great book, wildly successful. Tell our listeners a little bit about it and what inspired it.
Well, The Ridiculous is like this completely crazy adventure. There's someone from the planet Plasselner. He's an alien. He's this fun guy who just likes doing adventurous things, but he's always looking for something else to do.
People would say that's ridiculous what he goes out to do.
Yep.
And he goes and he does it.
His best friend is his ship and his computer, who's named Gottfried. And Gottfried loves playing practical jokes on the main character, Servanand. And he's just about had enough. On Earth, there's this boy named Jean, teenager. His best friend is a budgie because he talks to budgies, he talks to animals. And he's also looking for something different to do. And whoop, something weird happens, and the two of them switch bodies. So the book is really about these adventures and about each of these characters being able to experience their world from fresh new eyes, with imagination, with curiosity. And there's so much messages of self-growth and empowerment and self-love embedded so that people can have ahas along the way with all the laugh-out-loud moments.
Yeah, so
you
really
know what I like about
like
your... Oh, go ahead, Mindy. I apologize. I stepped right on you. Go ahead. Feel free to finish your thought. I apologize.
I'm good with it. All right. Thank you. What I was going to say is really we wrote a fictional book that was what inspired the whole story. And then as we grew as people, we added the elements that we learned of empowerment that came through as messages that or experiences that the characters go through.
And it was inspired at first by Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And along with that was Monty Python, was all the different British comedies, was, you know, starting to come into the fold, the shows like Seinfeld and those type of things. So it was inspired by having the comedy, but with that slight edge of things that to make you go, and that's our goal with it, to get people to rethink so that they can learn better how to love themselves and lot better how they look and feel and think and function and manifest and dream.
And it's really by focusing on what the theme is, it's to be ridiculous, act ridiculous, go beyond your norm, do what you really want to do, tap into your heart, discover your authentic you.
Fun because, and I'm just going to dive into this a little bit. You write over multiple genres. You already mentioned that. It's comedy, yet it's based in sci-fi. I would describe it as friendly for young adult, advanced young adult, and up. You threw out Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy as sort of like a comparison, or any of the Monty Python movies, which I think is really relevant, and many of our listeners are going to like to hear that. Is it hard for you guys as authors to write over multiple genres? And what I mean by that is, have you ever felt that that's limiting? I know that some authors complain that readers have a hard time finding them because their books can be in different places. Or do you like the idea of sort of being a Swiss Army knife where it gives you the freedom to do whatever you want to do and bake it into the book? And yeah, it might be in the sci-fi section, it might be in the comedy section, it might be in a self-help section, but you don't care. Wherever it is, just go and find it. I mean, do you prefer being the Swiss Army knife, or do you find it sometimes frustrating like some authors do?
You know, I really like that it is the Swiss Army knife comparison that you have there, because people, for one, it's comedy. So I'll put it there, that sort of fits across the board. But comedy allows the ability to share different types of messages that you normally couldn't do just straight out, having that little bit of edge there. So the fact that it's based on the comedy, because that's where it came from, the science fiction aspect allows the imagination to take over in ways that it wouldn't in a just a standard comedy. So you've got that extra element in it. And because our career was based in fitness and wellness and empowerment, it naturally comes through of putting messages of self-care and growth. So I like that it's fit into all those categories. Mindy?
Yeah. I will add to that also that I think that it allows us to go ahead and be ridiculous and just imagine more, so that the things that we're making up in our books for the characters to go through are because we're allowing ourselves to have that freedom to go with whatever makes us laugh, feel whatever makes us feel empowered or excited to share with the audience. So,
well, you know,
it has
this sort of like celestial Kerouac thing going on, right? Where it's like, you know, there's misanthropic adventures that are being chronicled with cool characters that are fun to read, because it's got this comedic edge, but there's real life lessons in it in like this ridiculous sci-fi world, which makes it kind of fun, right? I mean, and there's a uniqueness to that that I think is attractive to readers of many genres. And that's why I'm glad to hear that you guys liked my Swiss Army knife. I was hoping you would say that. So, well, you know, a lot of our listeners are not just readers, they're authors themselves. Sometimes they're aspiring authors, those that are jumping into the pool for the first time. What made you speak to them for a second? What made you guys want to become writers? And you know, what about your writing journey, going from reader to writer, did you like the most?
Okay, I'll go first on that one. I've always loved writing, so it was something that I always did. In class, in like junior high and high school, I really paid attention. I'd be off in my own world writing stuff. So it was naturally there. And over my entire career, I've always used like word and my word to inspire or educate or entertain. So either it was me actually speaking up on stage or doing something, or it was through writing. And I think things have changed to a certain degree where there's not as many people who want to read, still listen to an audiobook. So it's still the people's desire to hear a story. And I just knew there was all these really fun stories that were in my head or coming to me, and it's a matter of putting it down so you can share it with other people.
And on my end, it's very different than that. It happened by out of necessity because Jeff and I created a business together, and we each had to adopt the role that a role had to be fulfilled. So my role ended up going into the writing and editing route, and then it continued down that route when Jeff asked me to edit his story. And I found that in doing that, I actually really, really enjoyed it and have a lot of fun doing it because I like crafting the words and, you know, figuring out where to place what in sentences. And, like, it's like a puzzle for me, and I kind of come to life when I'm writing, and it's really enjoyable in many respects.
You know, that's a great answer. And the fact that you guys – sort of have this tag team going on too. I think that's fun. I mean, it's challenging enough to write it on your own, but then having to write it, you know, over top of one another. But it sounds to me like you guys have carved out your own roles there. One is sort of like the main writer, the other the editor, and then, you know, you kind of share notes and you know, produce the best product you can. This is a question I get a lot, so I'm going to ask it of you on behalf of my readers and the listeners here tonight. Were there any characters in the books that were inspired by people that you know, you know, like, and it could be yourselves, it could be your own adventures, but, you know, were there any characters that really were set from people that you knew in real life that you're like, oh, with a little bit of a comedic spin here or with a little funny story, this person would blow up. It would be really cool. Is there anybody like that you've used or multiple people you've used?
Multiple. One, me.
Of course.
I'm there in a whole bunch of the characters. Mindy's there too. I actually wrote in the character of what I say is Mindy, and now before I met Mindy, and I actually wrote it in such a way, almost describing what Mindy is. So it was a prediction on it. But other than that, yes, many of my friends wound up in the stories under slightly different names, and I've embedded myself in a lot of the characters and just different ways of reflecting out.
How about you, Mindy? Any of your stuff sneak in there outside of, you know, Jeff's Nostradamus moment of you?
Yeah, absolutely. There's things embedded throughout. That the people who are reading it are going to notice it and they'll get the smile going for themselves. Other people may or may not notice it, so I'm not going to reveal much of who.
All right, so this is a little bit of a spin on the same question then, because it sounds to me like, you know, Jeff in particular, you've embedded yourself in here in a few different cases. Is there a specific character, a single character that you identify with the best? Or did you create any characters in here that are like the opposite? They're like the you know, like the bad version of Mr. Spock. Like, you know, you're opposite completely in here, like your evil twin, or anything like that. Did you have fun doing stuff like that, or was it just really just bits and pieces?
It was more bits and pieces. Among the two of the main characters. So, you know, the space adventurer, the fun, just easygoing, just go with the flow guy, and the teenager who was just looking for adventure and open to whatever there is to uncover. So I think a lot of me is embedded into those characters. What do you think?
Anything on your side, Mindy? You see anything that Jeff's cheating on here?
Yeah, I see a lot of Jeff in the characters, in different characters, and kind of different parts of Jeff in different aspects coming through.
I gotcha. So do you guys as a group or individually, do you have any really odd writing habits? I mean, do you guys smoke a stogie before you start, or do you burn the first manuscript together, or anything fun? Because I know that I like sometimes when I get into writing mode, I like to listen to certain types of music that help me get into the mood for the kind of scenes I'm going to be writing. So if they're battle scenes for my fantasy stuff, I might be listening to Metallica or, you know, Five Finger Death Punch. If there's, you know, love scenes and romantic scenes, I'm listening to a different kind of music. You know, and I really, I mean, everybody has their own different writing habits. Do you guys have anything that's odd or something you could share that is a cool little background story that maybe no one else knows?
Usually we have like our greatest talk points and discussions is when we go out for walks and go out in nature. And oftentimes that's when we're actually discussing the next things coming up in the book or, you know, how we're going to be writing it or what we've discovered and what needs to be tweaked upon.
And for me, I like to write when I have like that download coming in. And either I'm feeling like, oh, I want to go write and do something. And sometimes I'll put on music. I discovered a band that when I was growing up, one of the bands I really liked was a band called Rush. And this new band came out called Crown Lands. And their music was probably one of the first music that I really, really enjoyed in like maybe more than a decade or more. And they had the sound of Rush to it, but with a different edge. So some of the scenes that were more high intensity scenes, that definitely went on. Scenes that are more like the medieval or in the forest, that kind of thing, I would put on Jethro Tull. And otherwise, the thing that was more that I feel more is just being out in nature. So to be somewhere out where it's the beauty of the environment around that's helping kind of guide that along. That's how it is for me.
I gotcha. So as authors, what is the toughest criticism that you've received? And what has been the best compliment you've gotten?
Best compliments have been, are awesome. Every type of compliment and review is great. The goal when this came out, at least initially in my head, when I was 16 and started to write it, is like, this is going to be as big as Hitchhikers, and there's going to be a whole, you know, culture and everything around it. So when I hear that people are pairing it to that book, it's really cool because it means, okay, I did what, you know, I kind of set out to do. And the worst criticisms are just from people who just don't get it, and that's fine. You know, Monty Python wasn't for everybody. Hitchhiker is not for everybody. And some people, even though they do want to change, aren't really ready for a change or aren't ready to hear that information. We did our best to make sure that the empowerment side of it was embedded so subtly that if you weren't open to it, it's just another funny story. But if you were open to it, you're going to have that moment. So for those who aren't into it, who aren't into laughter or wanting to be able to break through that sort of everyday mundane and get into laughter, if they don't like it, that's fine. We're not going to please everybody. It's more if we can make people laugh, that's awesome. If we can make them rethink, even better.
You know, that's a great answer. I'm thinking it begs this question then. Have you had somebody or many people come up to you at a book signing or at a public event and tell you how your books have changed their lives? I mean, I know that's kind of what you're doing here, hidden behind this veil of comedy. But at the end of the day, it's really a self-help book, a self-improvement in many respects for not just mental health, but all sorts of health. Have you had someone or some people come up to you and say, hey, look, I read this and it really, my life went from dark to light or whatever. Like, have you had that kind of anecdotal moment or moments?
It's more that it was like a mindset shift. So it would be like, I read that and now I think of something, like I see things differently. So it's kind of more the start or the initiation of going in a different direction than they were going in before, just because they're newly aware of something that our book made them aware of.
You know, that's a great answer. You know, it's something that when I get approached at cons or people come up to me at book signings or I'm out speaking, it's, you know, the most flattering thing for me is when they bring up like fan art or they've tried to write fan fiction or they, they ask me questions or tell me not to do certain things. And that energizes me as an author, you know, when you engage with your readership. Do you guys feel the same way? Do you get jazzed up for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing when you talk to folks out on the street, or you run into them at a, you know, at a convention or a bookstore? I mean, you feel that same level of energy there? Or, you know, for me, I know that really recharges the battery.
That's like the most fun, because on our end also, we're looking at incorporating different stories and experiences into the adventures within our book. So every encounter is meaningful. Every engagement is to be enjoyed and appreciated, and, you know, to find that golden gem in everything. So it's always an enjoyable adventure.
And you know, I'll share this. So this past summer was the first time that we tried something different with promoting the book, and we went to a lot of little markets that were not markets where people who sell books even go. It was like the hippie market. It was like another touristy type market.
So we were the community
thing. Yeah, community thing. So we were the only book people there. But we went to some that had like a lot of traffic. So it would be interesting to see, well, what is pulling people in to look at the book? Was it the artwork of the cover? Was it showcasing you know, the rankings we had on Amazon as bestseller, or what drew them in? Like Mindy would go out into the rows to bring people in, and
I had so much fun.
Had so much fun because she would stop people and go, "Want to read?" or "Want to laugh?" or "We wrote this." And that normally got people to stop. They would go, "You wrote this? Oh, cool! And tell me a bit more."
I wrote a book.
So it was more breaking that barrier from it being, well, we're just regular people, and we did something different. We wrote a book. So that was cool to connect with people like that, just to see people's willingness to even read. You know, I mentioned it before earlier, like a lot of people said to us, well, I don't read. I never read, or I have no time to read. So, of course, then we say, well, we have an audiobook. Can you listen? And, you know, but it was interesting just to see people's response or reaction to what got them to stop and pause. Those who were sci-fi fans, yeah, stopped and looked at the art and then asked us some things about the book. But it was fun to kind of see it from that perspective, to know, okay, you may think that you know who your readers are, but you don't really. You know who your readers are based on your friends and family who you may show that to and who may tell you about it. But if it's out large, and you're not even there to be in the bookstore or somewhere where someone's going to make a decision to buy it, you don't know who your readers are. So it's cool to go out into environments where people aren't coming to engage with authors on books. It's just something, just an everyday thing, just a regular market, and just see people's responses to things.
Yeah, you know, you hit on a couple of things in there. Like I find it when I'm pitching books, if I'm at a convention, you know, I'll look and you could see the people that are walking by and you know who the readers are, because some people look and they see books and they keep going. So I don't even bother with them. And then there are the folks that stop and glance over to see if it's their genre and or keep going, or they'll come over. And then there's the third one, the real target, where they stop and you literally see them slow walking, checking out the covers, reading the thing, looking for, and you're like, "What do you like to read?" And immediately you're like, bang, you connect with them, because I didn't invite them all. I'll just tease them. I'm like, "I know you read. Just come on over. I saw you slow. You literally slowed your roll to a third of this. So you can look at it. Just come on over. It's okay. I'm not going to bite." And I think that helps kind of break the ice with folks, because, you know, some people just don't want to engage, or they think you're going to hard sell them. And in our realm, we're just selling a fun story. This is entertainment. Like, I'm not selling them a car. Right. So the guard's coming down like, "Oh, here's an insurance salesman." Right. We're selling them a fun book. Right. And they should have fun with it. And I think that that's cool, too. And in that regard, I mentioned before that a lot of the folks that are listening tonight are authors or aspiring authors, too. What advice, as successful authors, would you give to those who are starting down their path for the first time? I mean, you've got to have some golden nuggets of wisdom in there that you could share with folks tonight.
You know, one thing I would share, and it applies to authors, it applies to any area of business. You know, we've done some really amazing things in our career, and the piece of advice I would always say is dream much, much bigger, much, much sooner. That there really is not this illusion that, in order to achieve a certain degree of success, a certain period of time has to pass. That's creating matter with matter. You just open your imagination and your awareness to the fact of what you want to achieve and dream that without limitations and do it so much quicker. You don't need to wait.
And because when you do that and you dream it and you see it that way, then you also recognize when there's opportunities and actions that you can take to get you closer to achieving that dream. So it's really, really important to believe and to dream big. Exactly as Jeff was saying.
You know, that's great advice because, if I could talk to my younger self and tell myself to do something different, I would tell myself to write earlier. And part of it is I wrote every day, but it was always nonfiction, right? Like I wrote fiction in high school and part of college because it was fun. And then you get a real job, you're in the real world, and now all of a sudden I'm doing communications and it's just not the same. You're not writing prose, you're not writing a story, you're kind of telling a story, you're taking a position, you're writing a speech, but it's okay, it's an outlet for it. But COVID was my silver lining. When COVID happened, my wife was going to go nuts if I didn't do anything because I'm such a like energy ball. And she's like, you're going to kill me, do something. Don't sit around the house, just figure out whatever, I don't care what it is, paint, tear up the carpet, do whatever. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to knock something off my bucket list. And I went and wrote. And the minute that I finished that first manuscript, I realized there wasn't going to be another time in my life where I wasn't going to be writing something. Do you guys have that same kind of like epiphany is not the right word, but almost like that transformational moment when you're like, I should have been doing this a long time ago. And I'm reaching people in a way that I want to reach them. And this is fun. And you don't want to go back. I mean, you writing into the future, doing more of this kind of stuff?
Yeah, our plan with this is it's going to be a trilogy of trilogies. So there will be 9 books in this set. But the book goes off to a companion community that is really an accountability network where people can take action and go on their journey of transformation in whatever area, whether it's mindset or physique or spiritual, whatever way. So in that community, the characters are going to live on their own. They're going to have their own voices too. People will be able to engage with them. So this is a non-ending. It's more we've made the book series paramount to everything that we're doing, in the wellness and the fitness and social media industries to really deliver something very different. The story never has to really end.
I got you, but you got to explain one thing to me. What is a trilogy of trilogies?
Well, when one trilogy doesn't do, why not do 3?
So it's trilogy cubed, right?
Trilogy cubed, yeah.
So your readership should expect 9 books.
That is correct.
Or 27.
They're already planned out.
So, look, we're coming to the end of the show. We only have a few minutes left, and I allow my guests to always kind of plug their stuff here at the end. Remind everybody where they can find you online, where they can find you at your socials, and more importantly, where they can buy your stuff.
Awesome. Well, the website is actridiculous.com. Social handles, for me, it's at Jeffrey Kipple. For Mindy, it's at Hey Mindheart, and we're on almost all the major social media platforms. The books are on Amazon, Kindle Unlimited, and the audiobook just launched. It's already ranked in the top 50 in humorous science fiction on Audible, but you could get it on iTunes and Apple and Google and Spotify and about 40 other different platforms. So check it out on Amazon, Audible, or wherever you buy audiobooks. And, this is just the beginning to a whole world of laughter and entertainment.
Well, Mindy, Jeff, thank you very much for coming on The Realm tonight. Really appreciate it. Feel free to come back when the next book launches. Just let me know. I'd be more than happy to have you back on. And to our followers, thanks again for lending us your ear today. And until next time, I am JV Hilliard, and may your gods go with you. Thanks, Mindy. Thanks, Jeff.